Is that far enough away? Okay.
You're fine.
Okay. It has a good range. We read this morning the 12th chapter of Hebrews. What is the middle area talking about in that chapter? Look, everybody has a blank look on their face.
Okay,
discipline. Thank you. Discipline. By whom? By God and?
Parents.
Okay. This morning we are going to talk about honoring your mother and father. And this is a subject dear to my heart. And it must have been very special to God as well, because He included it in what? The Ten Commandments. And He made it very severe, didn't He? Omri, I want you to listen. You're getting to an age where it's going to affect you as well. As you get older and get older, and make your own decisions, the choices you make in life. As with Esau that we read about in Hebrews 12 this morning. And some of those choices sometimes are irreversible. As with Esau. Not that they weren't irreversible, but they were for him, because he did not have a repentant heart. So what the things we're going to talk about this morning are about people that are of an older age than you are, but you're getting to that point, and not just you, but people of your age that are getting older and are going to start to make decisions. And that includes 39-year-olds as well, and 50-year-olds and 60-year-olds, and people even as myself, where my parents have passed on. Does that mean I don't have to honor my parents any longer? Do I still carry my father's name? Of course I do. So, let's begin. I have a lot of material here, and I do want to cover it. So first of all, God included this in the Ten Commandments that He gave. You shall not steal. That's a no-brainer. But just before some of those others, honor your father and your mother. But then he emphasized that by saying there's repercussions now if you don't. Honor your mother and father, that your days may be long in the land that your Lord, your God, is giving you. I was going to bring a sack of rocks up here with me, like you had your tangerines, but I didn't. Yeah, they're heavy. Tangerines weren't so heavy. I was going to emphasize the point by having a sack of rocks, because that was the punishment for individuals of an older age, and we will read about that in a moment. This theme makes a path through it for us today. And what has it been through the ages? Yeah, this was that Ten Commandments made long time ago. That shouldn't affect us today, should it? God is, of course, perfect, infallible. Why did He make this decree or command? And was it for the old law only? Of course, when God sets something being like a law or commandment, it is meant to not be changed unless God himself does it by changing it. We know he did away with the old law, or the worshiping part of the old law. In Hebrews 8 and 9, we see the old law is done away with, but those under the old law were not lost. They are still saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So let us get back to the matter at hand. What is the big deal of honoring your mother and father? Let me first bring out one important aspect of your relationship with your parents. Your parents are not perfect. They will make mistakes. How strongly did God think about this particular part of his plan for his creation, and why? If we look at Deuteronomy 21:18 through 21, it reads, "If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, will not listen to them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elder of the city at the gate of the place where he lives, and they shall say to the elder of the city, 'Son, rebellious, he will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard.' Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death. So you shall purge the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear and fear." Bag of rocks. God felt very strongly about this particular command. And that part about you, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord shall give you, he meant. And you see about the part about being repentant is included in that. The individual that made the choice to be drunkard, gluttonous, whatever the poor choices were, not listening to the parents, he was not of a repentant heart. First, before we break this down, let's ask some questions. Is this dealing with a child who does not pick up their toys when the mom and dad say, "Pick up your toys"? Is this dealing with the child who does not do the homework or their toys or chores around the house or etc.? It's more than these little ones are not dishonoring their parents when they don't do the things they're just kids. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about a more adult individual that is just, I don't know, lack of a better term, a bum, I guess, that is dishonoring the family name and bringing shame on the family and not repenting. Of course, it's up to the parents to correct undesirable behavior, like we read in Hebrews 12:8. If you are left without discipline, in which part? An illegitimate child, not sons. Verse 9, besides this, we have had earthly fathers who discipline us, and we respect them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? 10, for they discipline us for a short time as it seems best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. 11, for the moment all discipline seems painful, and nobody likes to be disciplined, rather than pleasure, but later it yields a peaceful and fruitful righteousness to those whom have been trained by it. It's for your own good. Deuteronomy talks about the more adult child who can make their own decisions and will have to live or die with the consequences. What story does this bring to mind? If we look at Luke 15 and the parable of the prodigal son, verses 11 through 32, the young son under the law should or could have been stoned. So what lesson was Jesus teaching in that? The difference was what in that lesson? The son had a repentant heart, or a true repentant heart, when he came back to the father. And I believe that is what the essence of the parable of the prodigal son was, is that he came home and begged forgiveness, and he said that he had sinned against the Father and God. There are several things to consider when thinking about something like this taking place. One, why? Two, is anything accomplished? And three, about four, which should be number one because of the reasoning behind the whole command. You know, most of the commands, or all of the commands, are, like I said, no-brainers. This one, you have to kind of reason through. Today, we often think that no matter what an individual has done, the punishment is too inhumane. Or society thinks that. Such as, what comes to mind? Capital punishment. It's too inhumane. When really, in essence, they get an injection and go to sleep. In many of the heinous, brutal crimes some of the persons have committed, if they have not killed the person, they certainly have taken their life from them in many ways. Now, of course, we as individuals of a society, if the heads of the society have said that capital punishment is revoked, then we have to go along with it. But if capital punishment stays in effect, fine and dandy. I think God says it's okay. But at any rate, So number one is like the paragraph, it sets an example for others. See the last line? So you shall purge the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear and fear. The why. Number two, is anything accomplished? Well, from the last line of our scripture, we could say yes, at least for a while. It's fresh in people's minds if they've witnessed somebody being stoned to death and they don't want that to occur or happen to them. And what about the parents? Do you think that they are, this is their child? They are not standing there with the group casting stones. Each stone that's crashing down on their child gives them pain. You don't stop loving your child when they do turn rebellious, but God set this up for even more reasons than to remove the evil from the midst, or so that others would hear about it and would strike fear in their hearts. There's more to it than that. The real answer Deuteronomy 6:3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in the land flowing with milk and honey. You see, your parents are fallible. They will and do make mistakes, and sometimes pretty bad ones. Have they stopped loving you? No. What can you do about the past? Remember the prodigal son. Also remember, I said, parents are not perfect. Let me tell you a little story about me and my children. Not so many years ago, I went to each and every one of my children and apologized and asked their forgiveness that the times that I might have fallen short. That's all I could do. And I did. Now let's go back to Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your might, and these words that I command you today shall be on diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Do you see the correlation? If children choose to be rebellious and not do what his or her parents tell them to do, how in the world are they ever going to follow God? That's the bottom line. They, the children, can always see their parents. Can they see God? No. We just read from Deuteronomy 6:4, who else can be put in the category of being rebellious children? In Romans 1, beginning in verse 18, it tells us who is in the category. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness, ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by the unrighteousness suppress the truth. Is there any excuse for the poor behavior? Verse 19. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. Verse 20. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, and this in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they, because futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Can you begin to see the wisdom of God in his command to honor mother and father? Later in the same chapter in Romans, it tells us that God gave them over or gave them up in their lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. What does God want from his children? Again, the lesson of the prodigal son comes into play. God wants them to repent with a true heart and follow him. When you hear the term that something is right, what is the deep meaning? Ephesians 6:1, case in point. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Why? This is the first commandment with a promise. What was the promise? To have a long life. What is going to happen if they did not obey the parents? They would be stoned, so they certainly would not go well with them, and they would not have a long life. Parents have responsibilities as well. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instructions of the Lord. We have guidelines. It's not just up to us to bring things out of the air. We have guidelines. We have instructions. How many have a supervisor that you just did not know what to expect from one day to the next? Or one day something's okay, and the next day they're coming the same. This is the kind of thing this verse is talking about. What is in a name? We have our favorites when it comes to many things, cars, food, and even some, the gasolines that we purchase. I'm going to mention an individual's name. Some here may not know him, but many here do know him. He's passed on now. As far as gasoline goes, it matters not what brand you buy. Ask Don Flick. Many here know Don. Did you know Don? Don Flick from the Long Beach congregation, Compton congregation. Don and Naomi. Many know him anyway. That's neither here. He and she are both passed on now. Don worked his whole working time at a refinery. I would say, 30 to 40 years. He mixed fuel. That was his job. He would tell you if you go to a Shell station, you may get ARCO gasoline. Or some other brand. It's the octane which makes the difference. Oh, some may have some special additives, but the fuel is the same no matter where you go. Don said that the companies share their storage tanks, and the dealers just use different trucks to deliver it wherever. So, yeah, fuel is fuel. It's the octane. Cars and food and most other commodities really are choice. Of course, you will pay a premium for the name brands. Does it make a dip? Does it make any better? In some cases, it probably does because they use a better brand or better material or something. I'm working up to a point now. Take the Lord's name in vain. I think this is misused most of the time. First off, does it mean to wish a condemnation on someone using the Lord's name to interact with them on or about a situation? That's usually how somebody uses the Lord's name in vain. That's not what it means. What does the word vain mean? Have no real value, significance, empty, having or showing or excessive high regard for oneself, indulging in or resulting from personal vanity, empty and hollow. Really, when a person does do this, they only show their own ignorance, not knowing another word to use. But God talked about it. So, then what does it mean? Exodus 20 and 7 tell us, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Also Deuteronomy 5:11, same verbiage. It's all ties into belonging to God and doing his will. Saying, when I was baptized, I put on the name Christian, but did not change my previous lifestyle. Would I not be taking the Lord's name in vain? Sure I would. That's what it means. Saying, I'm a Christian and just living the life I lived before. Example, John 8 and 11. Jesus told her to go and sin no more. What does this mean? Once I profess that Jesus is your King and Savior, or in the old law, name God and promise to do His will and follow His statutes and commands, and if you do not, that is taking the Lord's name in vain. It means nothing because you are reverting back to your old life. It's hollow, shallow, empty. So, under the new dispensation, under Jesus Christ, you are not going to be taken outside the city gates and be stoned to death, but will be separated from God if you do not honor your mother and father. Once a person is convicted in the heart and that complete new beginning, Romans 6. Are we perfect and never going to fall short again? Of course not. But we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. This is not license to sin. It is because we are weak and make poor choices, not blatant choice to do what we want because Jesus died for our sins. But the times when we, in a moment of weakness, just fall short and then go to Him in prayer asking for His forgiveness, just like the prodigal son. That's what that lesson's about. If a son or daughter cannot honor their parents who they can see, or even if their parents have gone on to be with the Lord, they must still honor them. The point is, how can they honor the Father of all creation of everything whom they cannot see if they do not honor their own physical parents? I believe this is why God added this to the Ten Commandments. Thank you for your patience. That's my comments for this morning. We'll offer the invitation to any subject to a call of the gospel or for anything anybody wants to bring before the congregation. So we stand and sing whatever Charles has chosen.